Beware of false prophets who come to you in the clothing of sheep, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Words, my friends in Christ, taken from today's gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Last week, I spoke to you at some length about Benedict XVI's motu mass, the motu proprio mass. This week, I would like to talk about another document by Benedict XVI that is in the news. Perhaps you've seen the article in the Cincinnati Inquirer during the past week. The headline is this: "The Pope says that others are not true churches." The story behind this roughly is that Benedict XVI, Joseph Ratzinger, put out a short document about 10 days ago about the Vatican II doctrine on the church. Now, the article in the Inquirer said this, among other things: "According to the Pope, other Christian communities are defective or are not true churches. And Catholicism provides the only true path to salvation." This, in the article, it was pointed out, was immediately criticized by the World Alliance of Reformed Churches, which claims to have 75 million Protestants affiliated with it. A dozen paragraphs of the article were devoted to promoting the notion that Benedict XVI is quite the conservative. We have quotes like this, that he said that Christ established only one church which has the fullness of salvation. Or again, Protestant churches are not true churches because they lack apostolic succession. Or again, Orthodox churches which have apostolic succession have a defect or a wound. And so on. And various commentators spoke of this particular decree and tried to tie it in with the approval of the Latin Mass, spoke of him turning back the clock, of Benedict taking a hard line, of restoring pre-Vatican II teaching, etc. Several parishioners asked me about this, and one of them said, "Boy, no salvation outside the church. Benedict XVI sounds like Pius IX. Well, as you can probably guess, today, as Paul Harvey likes to say, I'm going to tell you the other side of the story. We'll discuss three things briefly today. First of all, the dangers of the press. Secondly, what Ratzinger is really talking about. And third, why he's doing this now. First point, do not be fooled by the press. This is not the place for reliable information about religious matters. Ignorance of religion in society is general today, and the ignorance of the press reflects the ignorance in society. This is also filtered by members of the press through their hostility, the general hostility that media types have toward religion, and particularly toward the Catholic Church or to what they perceive as the Catholic Church. So in the press, typically you get oversimplifications of matters. This particular article had 12 paragraphs in it. Commentators as well like to speak of conservative or liberal or right and left polarities. You're used to hearing this in political discourse in the media. It's in the air that you breathe, the air of the culture that you breathe. Don't fall into this trap when it comes to the Catholic faith. There is simply no such thing as liberal or conservative Catholicism, or left or right Catholicism. There is only Catholicism. You are either Catholic or you are not. It's an absolute state. So this news item is a typical example of why we should not place reliance in the popular press. Secondly, What is the document actually talking about that came out from the Vatican? Well, it is an explanation of the Vatican II teaching, the famous phrase in Lumen Gentium, one of the documents of Vatican II in the 1960s, saying that the Church of Christ subsists in the Catholic Church. Subsists in the Catholic Church, rather than the Church of Christ is the Catholic Church. So the document that was issued by the Vatican attempts to explain this particular teaching. Now, far from being reaffirmation of the traditional Catholic teaching on the Church, far from being a reaffirmation such as this that's portrayed in the press, the document that Ratzinger in fact issued is a rehash of the typical post-Vatican II ecumenical heresy about the nature of the Church. The teaching that I call Frankenchurch. Frankenchurch. Now, the starting point for this heresy is what is called the people of God. Don't rush to your catechisms. You won't find that in your Baltimore catechism. The starting point is the people of God, and according to the Vatican II teaching, everyone who has been baptized, be you a Catholic, a heretic, or a schismatic, all are incorporated into the people of God by baptism. Now, within this people of God, you have the Church of Christ. And you have different degrees of incorporation into the Church of Christ. Different degrees of communion as well, they speak about. Or elements of the Church of Christ. And here's how it works, according to the Vatican II teaching. You are fully incorporated into the Church of Christ. If you are a Catholic, you are in full communion with the Church of Christ, and you possess all the elements of the Church of Christ. On the other hand, you are partially incorporated into the Church of Christ, in partial communion with the Church of Christ. You have some elements of the Church of Christ. If you are a heretic, you have baptism, you have some truths, you have some of these elements. Or if you're a schismatic, you have baptism, you have a valid priesthood and sacraments, you have some truths. So you're partially incorporated into the Church of Christ. You're in partial communion with it. And if you're partially incorporated, you have invisible bonds of communion that somehow attach you to the Church of Christ. This is really, really bizarre. That's why I call this teaching Frankenchurch. It's not an integral unity, the Church, but it's some sort of a monster that's stitched together from different parts. You have these elements of the Church. Having all of the elements of the Church is best. Being a Catholic is best, but having some of them is pretty good too. Now, that's not the Church that you and I learned about when we studied our catechism, and that is not the Catholic teaching on the nature of the Church. The Catholic teaching is that the Church is separated from all other sects, and everything else is false. There are no degrees of partial communion. You're either in communion or you're out of communion. It's an absolute state, like life or death. It's one thing or the other. But this is the modernist creation, this idea of elements of the Church. Now, I know you're saying, huh, this sounds very, very abstract, right? And how can I possibly remember what he's talking about? It seems so much up in the air. Well, I figured out a way to get this analogy across to you, this idea of the elements of the Church. And I guarantee that you will never forget the sermon and this analogy. Elements of the Church. I would compare it to the contents of a Happy Meal, McDonald's Happy Meal. Now, parents, you have kids, you know what a happy meal is. Here is a happy meal. It has several elements in it. You have the soft drink. That's one of the elements of the happy meal. You have fries. That's an element of the happy meal. You have the burger, which is an element of the happy meal. And you have the toy. These are elements of the happy meal. Now, when you have the fullness of the happy meal, you have all the elements. You have the bag, you have the burger, you have the fries, you have the soft drink, and you have the toy. So you have the fullness of the happy meal. Now, you can have a partial happy meal as well. You can get some of the elements when you go through the drive-thru. So you get the burger, and you get the fries for your kid, and you get the soft drink. So you have elements of the happy meal. You don't have all of it. You don't have the fullness of the happy meal. You don't get the fullness of the bag and the toy in the box. But it's still food, at least they say it is. And the elements of the meal are just as nourishing, even though your child doesn't get the fullness of the toy and of the bag or the box. That is an analogy, I think, that gets across the idea of the new teaching on the church. It seems to ridiculous to use something like this, but it is a ridiculous teaching that the church has elements as if they're all put in a bag, and you get the fullness of them, or you can order some of them. The church, however, is integral. It is not a collection of elements that are somehow partially joined. Now, the Modernist Vatican applied this particular teaching in a recent document about the Chinese schismatics. Some people in China, some clergy, went in to schism and in effect knuckled under to the communists in the 1950s. And they set up a church called the Chinese Catholic Patriotic Association that was controlled by the communists. And Pius XII excommunicated them all and condemned it. Now, Ratzinger recently came out with a document announcing that this group is in partial communion with the Catholic Church. And it's a lengthy document. And in effect, he gives the people who belong to this patriotic association on a local level, in effect, permission to surrender control of the church to the Chinese Communist government. So that's one application of the Franken Church or of the Happy Meal heresy. There are many others that are connected with the Vatican II teachings. For instance, Vatican II and the Catechism that Ratzinger put out says that the Spirit of Christ uses schismatic and heretical bodies, uses even Buddhism and Hinduism and Islam, where you don't have even people who are baptized, as means of salvation. So, you can see, once you get this explanation, the other side of the story, that in fact, the Vatican document taught the opposite of how it was portrayed in the popular press. But enough on that for the moment. Our third point. Why is Ratzinger doing this? Well, the document was interpreted by the press as conservative or traditional or old-fashioned. And he and the rest of the people in the Vatican are very savvy about these things. They understood how their statement would be taken. Why now? Someone asked me. Why at this particular point? It's not terribly difficult to connect the dots with the motu mass that Ratzinger approved. He hopes to give the impression of restoring tradition, in the church, restoring pre-Vatican II Catholicism, and he wants to fool so-called conservatives, and he wants to fool gullible traditional Catholics. Such is the power of the press. You know, how many of you, when you saw the statement in the Inquirer, how many of you said, maybe this guy really is on our side? That is the point. That's the impression that he wants to give. He wants to draw traditional Catholics into his diversity-filled, dogmaless, slowly evolving, one-world ecumenical religion. So don't be fooled. To sum up our three points. First, don't form your conclusions about matters touching upon the faith from the popular media. They get it wrong infallibly. This is just another example. Secondly, the recent Ratzinger statement on the Church of Christ is merely a rehash of his Frankenchurch heresy. The church as a stitched-together beast, or presented as elements, like elements of a happy meal, rather than an integral body. Thirdly, Ratzinger's aim with this document, as with the Motu Mass, is to hoodwink people like you and me into joining this false ecumenical church. Be wise then, and pray for the grace to recognize the wolf who poses as a shepherd. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.